Perek Dalet of Igarsa Tshuva, 186 on top. And these Tanyas is 363 at the bottom. Okay, the Alter Rebbe finished the fasting, right? Okay, so the Alter Rebbe said basically, Tshuva is repentance, not repentance, leaving the sin, making up your mind, you're not going to do it anymore, confessing. This that we fast, the tzedakah, that's post-tshuva. Has nothing to do with the tshuva itself. Tshuva is regretting the sin, making up your mind, you're not going to do it anymore. So he says like this, V'olam kola now, now in Perek Dalid, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain the definition of what tshuva is. Okay, we'll use another one, meanwhile.
I have
one here. Okay. V'olam kola now, everything that he mentioned before, hula gemara kapor, is for the ending of the forgiveness. Umirika nefesh l'Hashem, and the cleansing of the soul t'Hashem, achar tshuva, after the tshuva. Now, like you said before, the fasting after you do tshuva, so then you fast or give tzedakah or whatever it is. Like the Gemara says, you have the page? 186 on top, 363 at the bottom. The Eila, like he says in the Gemara quoted before, that the carbon Eila is Deirani La'acha Shirata Plakit, that it's the giving the gift that the prakrit, the guy would forgive you. Okay? But he says, Omnom, that's post-tshuva. Now Dr. Rebbe is going to start getting into, so to speak, the nitty-gritty of what tshuva really is. He says, Omnom, Mascholos mitzvah tshuva, the beginning of the mitzvah of tshuva. The ikra, the essence of tshuva, is lo shuvat Hashem, be'emes u'belev shalom, to return to Hashem truthfully and with a complete heart. Because Alter Rebbe is going with the notion now that he's going to go throughout Tanya, tshuva means returning. Repentance is called charata. It's not tshuva. Tshuva in Hebrew means to shuv, to return to Hashem. So he says, hechrich levayir heitev. So it's forced, we're forced to explain properly, bar chavis abir, with a complete explanation, with a broad explanation of what tshuva really is. And he says like this, behegdim, by first introducing, mashakot, because the Rebbe said, Dalt Rebbe said until now, okay, tshuva, you have to do tshuva, and then post tshuva you do that. But what's tshuva? He said, leaving the sin, but what's the real concept of tshuva? So he said, "Beheg the mashakos b'zeir hakodesh," by first introducing what the Zeir Hakodesh says, "Bebir the mitzvahs tshuva al derech hasod," what the Zohar explains what tshuva means according to Kabbalah. What is it? Toshuv hey, hey tata, tshuva tata, the returning of the hey, the lower hey. Lower level of tshuva, hey ilah, tshuva ilah. The higher hey is the higher level of tshuva. Now, the word tshuva is toshuv hey, correct? Returning the letter hey. So the Zayir says, what letter hey are we returning? The hey of Yud Kei Vav Kei, of Hashem's name. But Hashem's name has two heys. There's the second hay, which is called the lower hay, to return. And then you have the higher hay to return that. Right? So the Zayir says, the lower hay's returning is the lower level of tshuva, tshuva tata, lower level of tshuva. And the higher hay is tshuva ila. So the Zayir, according to what Alter Rebbe is going to go explain now for the rest of the prakim, there's a lower level of tshuva of returning, and there's a higher level of returning. And as we'll learn as we go on, one is for sins, and one is not for sins. Returning sinless, but you still have to return to Hashem. And he says that's one thing we need to understand. We need to understand what this means. And then he says, generally, there's a broad question, which is very, a general question. What's mentioned in the Zohar in a number of places. It says, Shein tshuva meyalas lepegim b'risim, meitzis ha'alvatolah. It says in the Zohar, in a number of places, tshuva doesn't help for wasting semen, for wasting seed. Fudavar tumur meitzis. The Rebbe says, it's a wondrous thing. Shein loch davar ha'im b'fnei ha'tshuva. The Gemara says, nothing stands in the way of tshuva, even idolatry, adultery, and murder. Yeah, nothing stands in the way of tshuva. So how could the Zohar say that tshuva doesn't help for that sin? So the Alter Rebbe says, Opirish Bereishis Chochma, the Reishis Chochma explains, Shakavonis HaZohar, what the Zohar means, he explains, how could the Zohar say tshuva doesn't help for that sin, when we know tshuva helps for everything? He says, She'ein, Shakavonis, She'me'el is tshuva tato. What the Zohar means, the lower level of tshuva doesn't help. When the Zohar says tshuva doesn't help for the sin of wasting seed, the Zohar means the lower level of tshuva doesn't work. Avo kiyim tshuva ilo, only tshuva ilo works. Okay? So the Alter Rebbe is asking two things that need to be understood. Number one, what does it mean? The lower tshuva, the higher tshuva, the lower hay, the higher hay. That's one thing we need to understand. And secondly, what does it mean that for certain avedas tshuva doesn't help? When we know there's a rule, tshuva helps. The Rebbe takes it even more because we find Rebbe's Rebbe was Acher, Elisha ben Avuya, right, who became the Sapikaitis. So the Gemara says, Rameir said to Acher, Rebbe, do tshuva. Don't do tshuva. He says, I can't, because I heard a voice from heaven that says, everybody can do tshuva except Acher. Can imagine, as sinful as he was, he heard a voice from heaven that said, everybody can do tshuva except Acher. So he says to Rav Meir, why should I do tshuva when Hashem says I can't? So Chassidus explains, and the Rebbe emphasizes this by many aspects of different things in Yiddishkeit. The Rebbe explains, even then, he could have done tshuva. Even when Hashem himself says you cannot do tshuva, im dochak v'nichnas, if you push yourself in and you go in, there's nothing that stands in the way of tshuva. Even Hashem himself can't stop you from doing tshuva. What it means is, everybody could do tshuva except Acher. What Hashem meant to tell him is, I'm not going to help you. I will not help you do tshuva. Normally when a person, a bala tired, if somebody comes to purify themselves, Hashem helps them. A person comes to do tshuva, Hashem helps them. So here Hashem said to him, okay, you're so bad in your sins, and your level, I'm not going to help you do tshuva. But if you push through and know and do tshuva, nothing stands in the way of tshuva. And the Rebbe once explained with this another remarkable thing which we learned in the past. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu with Pare, Zagoy, yeah? Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu before the plagues, yeah? I'm going to harden the heart of Pare. He's not going to listen to you. And then I'm going to beat him up. That's what it says in the Chumash, right? Ve'chazek Hashem eslei Pare, and he didn't listen to the Jews. Hashem, he's not listening. I'm going to punish him again. It's like I tie your hands behind your back. I tell you to do something which you can't because your hands are tied, and then I smack in the face because you didn't do what I told you to do. It's not fair. It's actually not nice. Hashem is fair. So the Rebbe explained, based on all these things that we're talking now, the Rebbe explains that even when Hashem hardens Pari's heart, he still could have done tshuva. Because nothing stands in the way of tshuva, even when Hashem says, I'm not going to let you do tshuva.
That time Hashem did, he hardened his heart because he wanted him to do tshuva?
No, he wanted to punish him. But he still had the ability to do tshuva. Okay, so he says like this. So these are two things we need to understand, yeah? What does tshuva mean? And okay, so tshuva, ilah helps. But what does that mean? So he said, to understand a little bit of this. A little bit. We have to first introduce another question. The Rebbe is going to ask a bunch of questions here, and then he's going to explain the whole concept that answers all the questions together. What's explained in the Psukim, there's certain punishments, Beis Din kills you, you know, get stoned or burnt or whatever. Certain punishments, Hashem makes you die early. Kodesh, Misi B'dei Shemayim. It depends what sins. So it said, K'sha'avet Aveira Shechayav Malei Kodesh. Okay, if you did a sin that you're obligated to get Kodesh on, Hoyemes Mamish Ketim Chamishim Shonu. You die before you're 50. U'b'misi B'dei Shemayim, and Misi B'dei Shemayim, Mes Mamish Ketim Shishim Shonu. You died before you were 60. Which is interesting. There's an argument between Bavli and Yerushalmi. Which one's Kardis? Normally people say Kardis is 60. But here the Alter Rebbe is going with the other opinion. Some people say, one is 50, one is 60. So some people say Kardis is 50 and Misi B'dei Shemayim is 60. Some people say Misi B'dei Shemayim is 50 and Kardis is 60. It doesn't matter. Bottom line is you died before 50 or 60. Chananya ben Ezer and Navi B'Yirmiyah. Like the Navi Chananya that was died early. Ulapa'amim, then the Rebbe says in the parentheses, sometimes, Gam B'Misa B'Dei Shemayim, even when Hashem kills you, Nifram La'alter, you get killed right away, like Erva Einan, you know, Tamar's Yibum's over there. The story, Tamar's husbands, they sinned and they died right away. Okay, so now the Rebbe says, it's clear in Torah that if you did Kodesh or Misa B'Dei Shemayim sins, meaning, you ate on Yom Kippur, you ate Chametz and Pesach, you didn't keep Taras and Mishpacha, you didn't keep, these are all Kodesh sins, yeah? It says, you would die before 50 or 60. So the Alter Rebbe says, Hare Nimtzu B'chol Dor, yet we find in every generation, Kama V'kama Chai V'krisis and Mises, many, many people that did Avedis of Kodesh and Misa B'dei Shemayim, V'erichu Yemeyem U'shneisim Bani'imim. And not only did they live long, they lived beautiful, peaceful, sweet life. So the Alter Rebbe says, one minute, it doesn't make sense. Okay? So the Alter Rebbe is asking, this is the final question. Torah says, Karis and Misa B'Dei Shemayim, you died before 50 and 60. So how is it that thousands and thousands of people throughout all generations are living ripe, old, peaceful, and the Rebbe explains why, what is Alter Rebbe Bani'imim? Because, like this is, okay, they're suffering, so it's not really a life. The Alter Rebbe said, no, you find people that lived ripe, old, sweet, peaceful, gorgeous years. Yeah? In Hawaii. And yet, they did Averis, according to Misa B'Dei Shemayim, so why didn't they die? Okay? So, we need to understand like this. What does Toshuv Hei mean, the two Heis? We need to understand what does it mean tshuva tata doesn't help for certain sins, but tshuva ilah does help. We also have to understand why do people that did all these avedis live ripe old wonderful years. Okay. So he says like this, Ach inyan yuva napi masher kosu will understand. Now the Alter Rebbe is going to explain this whole thing. Okay? Because, let me just preface it. If you have to return the letter hey, right? That's what tshuva is, tashuv hey, returning the letter hey. That means it went off somewhere. If it's there where it belongs, if it's yud kei vav kei, and the hey's are where they belong, what are you returning? Right? Return means it got lost, and now you have to return it back. So how did those letters get lost? Like, how does this hey of Hashem's name get lost? So the Altareb is going to explain now what happens when a person sins, what they do when they sin, how that affects the name of Hashem and themselves when they sin, and then we can understand what does it mean returning it. Because you got it lost. And therefore you need to return it. Okay, so he says now like this, four lines in the end. Achainyon Yuvan will understand it by Alpi Mashakosov. Based on what it says in the Pasik, Kichelek Hashem Ami. For part of Hashem is this nation. What does it mean, a part of Hashem? Chelek Mishem Havaya Baruch. A Jew, the neshama of the Jew basically, is a part of God. And now the Alter Rebbe is going to explain, what does it mean, a part of Hashem? What do you mean, a part of Hashem? Or, as Alter Rebbe says, the famous expression, Perek Beis of Tanya, the Nisham is Chelek Eloka Mimal. That means a part of God. Now, what does that mean, that we're a part? Why is the table not a part of God? Hashem's everything. Why isn't the chair? Why isn't the tree? Why isn't everything? Why isn't a non-Jew part of Hashem? Why isn't animal, whatever it is? Why only the neshama of a Jew is part of Hashem? Why? Hashem's all over. So he explains like this. Kedeksiv, vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim. Hashem blew into the nostrils, meaning into Adam Rishon, nishmas chayim and neshama of life. Uman de nafach, miteichi nafach. The one who blows from his innards. Okay? Meaning, okay, I'll explain in a second. You know, you're going to have to turn two pages to turn the next page, but we're not there yet to turn, because there's two pages on this page. Let me give you an introduction, and then probably next week we'll learn an insight. When Torah uses human terms for Hashem, it's a problem. Okay? When it says in the Pasuk, they saw the hand of God, Hashem doesn't have a hand. Okay? When it says, Hashemayim kisi, the heaven is my chair, v'haretz adem raglay, and the earth is my footstool, it's a shtickle problem because Hashem doesn't have a foot that he puts it on the earth. Okay? When the Jews said, or the Egyptians said, Etzpel Akim, he is the finger of God, Eine Hashem. All these things, it obviously, clearly do not mean physical. Why is the Torah using physical words and an abstract Hashem? Okay? So the answer is, Chassidus explains, when we understand the concept of speech, when we understand the concept of a hand, finger, foot, eye, and we understand the concept, we utilize the concept in the spiritual realm of Hashem. Even though Hashem doesn't have, like, I mean, what's the purpose of a hand? A hand normally gives, right? So it says the Jews saw the hand of Hashem. What did they see? God giving the miracle of the splitting of the sea. They didn't see a hand. I mean, it's ridiculous to say, Tzapi Ram says, Tzapi Kor says, if you say that. They saw, what does a hand do? Hashem gives. A hand gives. So he saw that Hashem gave the salvation of the Jewish people. Right? At the beginning of Chumash, all the 10 utterances that Hashem made, was Vayemer Elokim, Vayemer Elokim, Vayemer Elokim. We learned this already many times, but here's where he's saying it. Hashem said, the 10 utterances, right? Now, Hashem doesn't talk. Okay? He didn't speak into his phone and say, Yehi Or, let there be light, and all of a sudden, Microsoft, whatever, or whatever, made it happen. That's not the way it works. What does it mean, Vayomer Elokim? Hashem spoke. When you understand the concept of what speech is, then we can understand how it means by Hashem. What is the concept of speech? Before I speak, you don't know what I'm thinking. It's hidden. Correct? When I speak it, now you know. So what is the concept of speech? Revealing something previously hidden. Correct? That's the concept of speech. Thought is hidden. Speech is not. Speech reveals what thought. So speech basically reveals a previously concealed concept. When it says, Hashem said, let there be light, it doesn't say Hashem spoke on a loud system, PA system, Yehi Or. Hashem had the ability to create light, has the ability to create light, but he didn't reveal it. Right? He wasn't revealed it. So therefore there was no light yet. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, Hashem said, let there be light, meaning Hashem says, I revealed the power to create light, and light became. It's a concept of revealing something hidden. But there's something similar to talking, and that's blowing. When you talk, air comes out. It's coming from the mouth. It's air, right? Speech is air. Hot, as people say, hot air coming out. So speech is air. Blowing is also air coming out. The difference is, by talking, you could talk hours, and you could do it. Why? Because the air that comes out, meaning the revelation that comes out through speech, is extremely limited. It's mukbal. It's very limited. Therefore, you can talk. When you ever blow with power, you feel your whole kishke, your whole stomach is coming out. Okay? And therefore, you can't blow for long. So again, it's similar to speech, but the difference between speech and blowing is speech is an external revelation, while blowing is an essential revelation. I'm revealing my essence. Yes? Got it? Okay. One second. All the creations in the world were created with speech, meaning a very limited revelation of Hashem. That's what speech is. Revelation, but a very limited revelation. So therefore, all the creations of the entire existence of the world is only speech. Including the body of mankind, Vayomer Elokim Naasa Adam. Let's make man. That means even the body of a person is speech. When it comes to the neshama of Adam Arishon, the neshama of a Jew, what does the Torah say? Vayipach ba'apav. It doesn't say Hashem said let him be alive. It doesn't say Hashem said let him get a neshama. The Torah doesn't use the word speech there. Then the Torah uses the word vayipach ba'apav. He blew into Adam Arishon and neshama. What does that mean? Again, the concept, Hashem blew his essence into Adam Arishon and into every Jew. Therefore, when the Pasuk says, Chelek Hashem Amoy, that the Jews are a part of Hashem, it means, literally, we are the essence of Hashem. What's wrong?
From generation to generation?
It went into Adam Edition. Okay. Then it doesn't go, it only goes to Jews. It was by Adam Edition, then to Yidden.
But that, it physically, so to speak, goes from one to, or Hashem no. puts it in each time?
Every time a baby is born, or before conception, whatever, Hashem blows the neshama into him.
So blowing is the neshama, really. It's just the
neshama. Yeah, but why does the Torah use the word blowing? Blowing, he's not blowing the balloons. Hashem's giving, revealing him. It's not like speech, which is not you, because you can talk. It's not your essence. By neshama, it says Hashem blew, and that's what he says. Let's start again. Achin yinuven al pi mashe kosek yichelik Hashem amei chelik meishem avaya baruchu. Like it says, ba'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. Hashem blew into Adam Rishon in the Shem of life, but he blew. Uman de nafach mitoich nafach. and one who blows both from his essence. So the Alter Rebbe says, I ain't the dumos haguf chasa sholem. I, Hashem doesn't have a body. What does it mean blowing? Right? Like we said, he doesn't have a body. But Torah speaks in human terms, meaning, in order to understand the speech of Hashem versus, yeah. I have to turn two pages, versus, yeah, these are, because the English is, there's a lot of footnotes at the bottom. So. Okay, which means is that the Torah speaks in human terms. What does it mean? Just like there's a very big difference. But Adam Atachten, by a person down here, Al Derech Moshel, for analogy, Bein Hevel Sheyetzim Yipiv B'Diburei, there's a big difference between the air that comes out through speech, Lehevel Ayetzim Yedei Neficha, the air that comes through blowing. You can't compare the two. Like he said, Shebeyetzim B'Diburei, what air that comes out when you speak, it's very, very limited. It's only a very minimal, limited life force that comes out, and which is only chitzenius, which is only external of the nefesh shechayis shebekimo. When a person speaks, speech is a very external revelation of our soul, right, from the neshama. But when it goes out with the power of blowing, the mitech nafach that you blow from your innards, then malubish by kayach v'chayis pnimi, then it comes the essential deep essence, essential power of the nefesh achaya. Okay, so this is the difference between blowing. Okay, so that it's late, but the Alter Rebbe next week Mr. Shem will learn. So therefore, he says the neshama is connected to God. Yes. But sometimes we can block that lifeline of blowing. Now, I'm going to say a very simple thing. It's late, but if I blow and there's a wall blocking me or a book blocking me, the blowing is not going to hit you. Yeah. It's not going to reach you. Hashem blows into the yid, but you do a sin, you block it. It doesn't go.
The blowing.
Hashem giving us life. It's not going to work. Okay.